over to the news. Plan on seeing you next week. Hopefully one of these weeks I'll have a guest, so it will be a little more exciting. And certainly feel free to call me, contact me, if there are subjects that you want to hear about, and then I'll arrange guests, lawyers, who in fact can, not answer your questions directly, but answer them indirectly, meaning that we don't take calls on this show because we can't give individual legal advice. But certainly if we have some information, what you're looking for is pretty general information that we can, in fact, find and can, in fact, share that. So we'll be back after the news. And I'll tell you who the news is being sponsored by.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
USA Radio News with Jason Wirt.
Over the next 10 years, our economic team estimates that under our plan, the economy will average 3.5% growth and create a total of 25 million new jobs.
Donald Trump talking about his economic policies on the campaign trail. Trump earlier today said President Obama was born in America amid allegations from the Clinton campaign that Trump continued to believe he was not born in America. President Obama is campaigning for the Trans-Pacific Partnership, one of the items he said is key to his remaining time as president.
After a lot of negotiations, we've got what is the most progressive, effective trade deal that we've ever seen.
Three news organizations suing the FBI over a terrorist iPhone hack. The lawsuit seeking to find out who the government paid to get into the phone of the terrorist in San Bernardino and how much money was spent. USA Radio News.
In this box, we have a lidocaine pain patch. And in this box, we have what looks to be another pain patch, Blue Emu's Lidocare. Lidocare offers 4% lidocaine. It's odor-free, ultra-flexible, and it's the only non-water-based lidocaine patch. Yes, I said only. So if you'd prefer this to this, find us at Walgreens, CVS, or Amazon.
QL1, this is Control, checking in to see how excited you are for launch. Over? Well, actually, I'm kind of bored. You're about to travel 17,000 miles per hour through Earth's atmosphere, and you're bored? It just doesn't sound that exciting after using Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. I was able to get a completely online custom mortgage approval in minutes. Wow, that is impressive.
3, 2, 1.
Rocket Mortgage at QuickenLoans.com. Push button. Get mortgage.
Rocket. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLSConsumerAccess.org number 3030.
People are in line to buy the new iPhones, but they aren't necessarily enthusiastic about the new iPhones. Here's one iPhone purchaser from New York.
Because my old phone doesn't work, so I have to get a new one. Yeah. And otherwise, I would probably go for Samsung. Because this generation is not a breakthrough, obviously. So I'd rather stick for another year and wait for the next generation.
A school bus driver in New York has been fired after a road rage incident where they drove into oncoming traffic after an altercation with a UPS truck. This is a witness.
I was worried that something was coming in the opposite direction, which I believe just a second or two later, a car did pass in the opposite direction on that side of the road, and it could have been really nasty.
Drivers are logging a record number of miles on the nation's roadways. The Department of Transportation said Americans drove more than 287 billion miles in July. That's a 2% increase for last year and a record for the month. More news online at USAradio.com. I'm Jason Wirt.
Love sports articles but don't have time to search the web looking for the most compelling stories? Then US Sports Pages is for you. Why spend hours going to multiple sites looking to find sports articles when we can do the work for you? Our producers go through every newspaper in the country and pick out the best sports articles separated by sport, dramatically reducing your prep time. We also include sports and entertainment kicker stories. USSportsPages.com is the only site you'll need to get your sports fix. Check us out today. The daily links at USSportsPages.com.
Six staffers at Rikers Island are heading to prison themselves in connection with a 2012 beating of a prisoner.
The New York Daily News says a Bronx judge handed down sentences in the 2012 beating of inmate Jamal Lightfoot. Alicia Perez Jr., who became assistant head of security at the New York City Correction Department, will spend 6.5 years in prison. Former Captain Gerald Vaughn received a 5.5-year sentence. The four officers under their command each got 4.5 years. The news says Lightfoot was singled out for the beating in a jail search pen away from security cameras. The defendant's lawyers plan to appeal. Two more former correction officers face sentencing for trying to cover up the assault. Ethan Harp, New York.
The father and stepmother of NASCAR driver Robbie Gordon were found dead in what police believe was a murder-suicide. This is correspondent Chris Barnes.
Former NASCAR driver Robbie Gordon's father and stepmother are dead after what police say was an apparent murder-suicide.
I'm so sad and I can't believe it.
That's Gordon speaking yesterday. Police say 68-year-old Robert Baja Bob Gordon strangled 57-year-old Sharon Gordon before he shot himself. Their bodies found in the California home owned by the former NASCAR driver on Wednesday night. I'm Chris Barnes.
Millions of people in the eastern third of the country could be shelling out more to fill up their gas tanks. A pipeline that carries gas to the eastern U.S. shut down after a leak discovered a week ago. Government officials say gas shortages likely in Alabama, Georgia, Tennessee, and the Carolinas. USA Radio News.
At Crown Trophy of Flemington, we have thousands of products for you to choose from. Whether you're looking for trophies, plaques, or corporate awards, Crown Trophy of Flemington is your one-stop shop. We feature acrylic and crystal awards and promotional products for any occasion. We build and engrave all awards right on site. And we're a leading supplier of varsity jackets for local sports teams. We provide quality customer service and great pricing. Crown Trophy of Flemington is conveniently located in the Staples Shopping Center in Flemington. Crown Trophy of Flemington, we're trophies and a whole lot more.
Well, good afternoon. It's a few minutes after 5. The sports guys will be up shortly. Hopefully there will be more than one sports guy here today, because otherwise you'll have to hear basics football, because I'm trying to teach people who don't know football a little bit more about the sport and hear more than you want to hear about the Green Bay Packers. In any event, before we start the program, I wanted to bring you up to date on the weather, and let's make sure that anybody who's interested in sports, whatever you have to do tomorrow, forget it. Just get out there and enjoy the day. It's going to be mostly sunny, high of around 80 degrees, and so it should be a beautiful day, especially since we can look forward to scattered thunderstorms on Sunday. There's about a 50% chance of scattered thunderstorms on Sunday, and the high on Sunday about the same as Saturday, about 81 degrees. So, you know, you'll have to stay tuned for weather, not just now, but certainly tomorrow, tomorrow night and even early Sunday morning, to hear more about the scattered thunderstorms. And then on Sunday night, there's about a 70% chance of showers, and hopefully that will be some significant showers since and after everybody goes to bed, because we certainly need the rain. And then, however, into Monday, again, it looks like there's about a 70% showers in the morning, so we have likely rain in the morning, and then possibly some thunderstorms, 40% scattered thunderstorms in the afternoon. And so then, you know, hate to even predict anything farther, but Tuesday now, at least it's predicting now that it should be sunny and about 83 degrees. So Tuesday should be a nice day. I'll just go with some of the spots, and then hopefully by the time we come back, we'll have a couple other sports guys.
I'm your ice cream man, stop me when I'm passing by.
It's time to visit Pambee's, the newest ice cream shop in town. Pambee's Purely Delicious Ice Cream, Gelato, and Sorbet, made in Hunterdon County from unique blends of natural extracts, herbs, and spices. Created with a rich, creamy texture bursting with flavor. Tickle your palate with exotic flavors such as rose cardamom, hot mango, and ginger lemon. Or satisfy your craving for dark chocolate, pecans, and caramel. Located on Route 31, south of Clinton. Pambee's Purely Delicious.
See, now all my flavors are guaranteed to satisfy. I'm your ice cream man, stop me when I'm passing by.
It's time to visit Pambee's, the newest ice cream shop in town. Pambee's Purely Delicious Ice Cream, Gelato, and Sorbet, made in Hunterdon County from unique blends of natural extracts, herbs, and spices. Created with a rich, creamy texture bursting with flavor. Tickle your palate with exotic flavors such as rose cardamom, hot mango, and ginger lemon. Or satisfy your craving for dark chocolate, pecans, and caramel. Located on Route 31, south of Clinton. Pambee's Purely Delicious.
See, now all my flavors are guaranteed to satisfy. Pambee Ice Cream. Hope you visit them because anything ice cream related, and this place is fairly close to where I live. So please, one of our newer business people in the county, and I hope you visit them. It's trying to describe where they are. South of Molasses Hill Road on the southbound lane. And anyway, drop in. It was used to be a little diner cafe there, and enjoy their ice cream. And welcome, and I'm going to play it one more time.
I'm your ice cream man, stop me when I'm passing by.
It's time to visit Pambee's, the newest ice cream shop in town. Pambee's Purely Delicious Ice Cream, Gelato, and Sorbet, made in Hunterdon County from unique blends of natural extracts, herbs, and spices. Created with a rich, creamy texture bursting with flavor. Tickle your palate with exotic flavors such as rose cardamom, hot mango, and ginger lemon. Or satisfy your craving for dark chocolate, pecans, and caramel. Located on Route 31, south of Clinton. Pambee's Purely Delicious.
See, now all my flavors are guaranteed to satisfy.
I don't know. Growing up in Wisconsin, we had such great ice cream. It really was. I'm not used to the Italian ice or even necessarily the gelato. The rich ice cream is, just wonderful. Every time I go to Wisconsin, if I can get anywhere close to this one place, I will stop for, their double rich ice cream. In fact, they call it, I'm just forgetting now because we call here it's something else. And so people, when I mention how much I like whatever, they think, but wait a minute, that's not ice cream. I'll probably think of it as soon as I finish this broadcast. But anyway, guess what? My other cohorts have not come in yet, so you're going to hear me about football. And I guess everybody has to be delighted, or most of us who are football fans, I guess we're either delighted or we're not happy. One of the things that I always suggest to people whose spouses watch too much football is learn a little bit about it and join them. And more I find that women are sports fans and are football fans. When I first came to New Jersey, it was really unusual to find any woman who was interested in football. But in any event, that's one of the things that I really suggest dads do if they're the football fan in the family, and I don't want to sound sexist when I say that, but often it is dad who's the football fan. But make sure your girls as well as your boys learn the sport, and they'll enjoy the sport and find a lot more to do in the future. Now, I guess part of the reason it's not quite as popular on the East Coast or even the West Coast is that there's so much more to do. Not much to do in Green Bay other than watch football. So what happened? Well, our Packers, of course, played. They played Jacksonville last week. I actually almost felt sorry for the Jaguars because that morning they found out that Chris Ivory was not going to be playing. Apparently he had some undisclosed illness and was taken to the hospital. So that, of course, put a lot of pressure on the team to fill in for him. And the Jaguars started out. Actually, I thought their quarterback was, you know, looked pretty competent. And although he was certainly pressured by Matthews, I mean, first off, you know, there was made about 6 yards, and then, of course, on the then there was the first and 10, so they got the second first down, and then he had to throw it away because of the pressure from Matthews, who, you know, is now again on the outside. But you know, we don't, you know, he plays all over. He did he had a wonderful game, and so that was the way that game started out. But I have to say, it was a really fun game to watch. Bill just walked in. Hi, Bill Wolfson. You have to be happy with what your Eagles did last week.
Oh, yes, and happier with what the Jets did last night to Buffalo.
Oh, wow. That's right. Actually, the Jets are really looking good this year, aren't they?
Well, yes. They looked pretty, they didn't look too bad against their first opponent, but they did lose. I don't think
right.
They should have lost that game, but they made a lot of mistakes. And, you know, in the NFL, your mistakes are fatal. Against Buffalo, Fitzpatrick finally showed what kind of a quarterback he can be, and he finally has the receivers and the running backs to help him out. So we now have the ability to have a team that might very well get to the playoffs. It's early in the season,
well, come
but
on.
They're 1-1.
Yeah, I know, but that is a bit early, don't you think, to be
well,
predicting
they
the
might
playoffs?
Just get there. They missed by one game last year against Buffalo. Buffalo knocked them out the last game of the season. They were 10-6 in a tough conference, but, you know, that's why we play the game.
Well, I was hoping that John would be here. Of course, he'd be crowing about the Giants. But I have to say, I was very impressed with the Dallas quarterback. I mean, I know that they lost the game, but I don't think they lost the game because of him. He seemed to do almost everything right.
He did have a good game. I got to watch the second half of that game Sunday afternoon, and he's an impressive guy.
He really is.
It sounds like they found somebody there to replace Tony Romo. I think Tony Romo ever plays another down, he runs the risk of being paralyzed.
So do you think this is it?
I think he's got some disc problems. I think.
Well, he does, but do you think really? I thought he had some fractures in his back.
I think so. And if I had had fractures in my back, that would be the end of my athletic career. I mean, I wouldn't give up ping pong or tennis, but on the other hand, an impact sport like football, that would be it for me.
Well, we shall see. And, of course, they were really concerned. But I mean, what did you see in this young quarterback? I mean, I know they lost, but I think either team could have won that game.
That's true. And remember, the outcome was in doubt until the last couple
Absolutely.
Of seconds. I don't understand why he had a receiver who wasn't parked by the sidelines to catch a ball and then fall backwards and just stop the clock by going out of bounds.
But what's even worse is instead of when you watched it, when he did receive the ball, I think he still could have gotten out. I mean, if he had jumped out, instead he seemed to instead of trying to go around to the right of the guy, he seemed to go, you know, started actually not even going straight ahead, but he never seemed to, well, he didn't. He did not try to get out of bounds, and everybody was talking about that. I mean, it just...
That's true.
And I think he was close enough, or he seemed, you know, maybe not. He seemed as if he was close enough that he could have gotten out of bounds.
Well, that's why they play the game. Remember, it's a game of mistakes. It's a game of bad execution. It's a game of problems. The reasons the Giants lost last week, the week before their opener, was the execution wasn't right. The execution was not good. I take that back. Excuse me. The reason the Jets lost.
Yeah, I was going to say the Giants. What are
the Jets
about?
Lost. The Jets. Forgive me. It's been a long day. The reason the
Jets realize lost, that, but I'm trying to think here.
Yeah. The reason the Jets lost last week to the Bengals was poor execution. They only lost by a point.
Yeah, but this was different. This was everybody knew it was one pass. You know, get out. You know, it just made no sense. I mean, this is like we're down to, you know, what, 2 seconds on the clock. And you're right, he needed to pass towards the sidelines, but he did. I mean, that was the guy who was closest to the sidelines. It was a good pass. It wasn't that he had to fall forward and fall inbounds, to catch that pass.
That's true, but remember, sometimes you just have to call it a bonehead play. The guy wasn't thinking, and I'm sure he heard about it from the coach.
Well, but he had to be, well, okay. I mean,
And more importantly, Pat, where did Dallas have the ball right before that play? What yard line?
I don't recall.
I think it was around a 30, and their field goal kicker had been 4 for 4. I really don't understand why they even called
why
a pass
they called
play.
One more pass play. Well, I think what they wanted to do is they wanted to get in better position because although their kicker had done well in that game, isn't he the guy who has made a few hasn't he missed a few times?
He was 4 for 4 that game.
Right.
He was red hot.
Well,
I would have played my hot hand, and I would never have run that play. I would have grabbed the 3 points. Dallas would have won by 2.
So he would have had, it would have been less than a 40-yard kick?
It would have been less than a 40-yard kick, including the fact that the goalposts are set back, what,
right.
10
no,
yards?
No, I know. I guess I thought they were a bit farther back. I thought they were trying to get around the 30.
They may have been trying to adjust it to get to a different hash mark or something like that, but I don't think so. This guy kicked a 53-yarder.
Right,
he kicked a 56-yarder.
Right. No, I just think that it was a real, not good. I'm just hoping that they'll win a few games so that when they come to Green Bay, they won't be too hungry so that Packers can beat them. I thought the Packer-Jacksonville Jaguar game was really well matched. I mean, I think the Jaguars are much improved. I think they're one of the teams that went out and spent a lot of money to get some defensive players, and I think it showed. Now, I wasn't so sure that the defensive players that some of the other teams brought in were quite as effective.
I didn't get a chance to see the Packers-Jags game, but it was closer than I expected, which means you're correct. The Jags are well improved. I was pleasantly surprised also to see the Tampa Bay Buccaneers win and the Steelers win pretty convincingly. We also have the Jets, who showed what they're about. Now, granted, the Bills may not have been not be the toughest opponent, but it's a conference game.
Right.
It's a division game, and it's meaningful there. And had they lost, well, then you could say that, the Bills have their number because the Jets have lost 5 games in a row to the Bills over the last couple of years, and the Bills knocked them out of the playoffs, as I said before. So now you've got a Jets team that is got to be feeling pretty good. after their first, after losing their opener, and they won on the road. They broke the Rex Ryan jinx. They broke the Bills jinx. They won in a convincing way, and it was a good game. It was a fun game to watch. I made the mistake of staying up and watching the whole game, so I'm a little tired today. But, you know, when you're a Jets fan, you...
Yeah, that's right. You have to. I did not watch that whole game. I watched part of it last night, and I just couldn't stay up that late.
Meanwhile,
this past week I was watching... I did stay up to watch one of the late matches at the U.S. Open until about 1:20 in the morning. And
oh my gosh!
Yeah, I mean that was and last Sunday was really unbelievable. When you think about the sports, the number of sports on television last Sunday, I don't know how few times the number are rivaled. I mean, you had the U.S. Open Men's Championships. You had all the football games. And you had the one sport that I may be one of the few people who watch in this whole area. Oh, I've said it before.
Oh, rodeo?
Yeah, but bull riding.
Bull
actually,
riding.
Somebody almost was killed bull riding on Sunday.
Wow.
And I will say, anybody, it's probably not the sport that most people would watch on television as much as if you ever have a chance to go to a bull riding competition. It's really fun.
Oh, I've been to them. They are exciting.
And rodeos are fun too, but I mean especially the bull riding competition. So,
well, Pat, you left out one other sport that's going on right now, and that's the hockey tournament. The World Federation of Hockey is they're in the middle of their round robin now. You have a number of different national teams, including a team from the European Union, which is the first playing along with Russians, Finns, Canadians, Americans, Czechs, Slovaks, Swedes, Germans. So it's going to be it's going to be interesting to see how that all shakes out.
Well, and back to football. any other views as to you know, who's really seemed to have put it together at the early part of the season and who's just missed it completely?
Well, you know, the Eagles had a very good, very promising start with Carson Wentz. He's got some good guys to throw to. He's got a couple of good running backs, and he managed only to get sacked once the entire game. Now, granted, the Eagles did not play a tough opponent. They played the Cleveland Browns, and the Browns will be lucky if they go 13, you know, 3-13 or 4-12 or 5-11. They're not a great team this year. They were very disappointed with Johnny Manziel. In fact, they had to pick up Robert Griffin III to play quarterback for them. But on the other hand, the Browns are an NFL caliber team, and you know, on any given Sunday, they could beat anybody, as we've always said here. So I think it was a good first test for Carson Wentz. He didn't make too many mistakes. He looked poised out there. The Eagles are not going to miss Sam Bradford and the $11,000 that they were paying him, $11 million they were paying him this year. He's in Minnesota. He's got Adrian Peters to help him out. And I think the Vikings won last week, didn't they?
He has Peterson, who is, you know, still pretty phenomenal. I think Peterson must be around 31 years old, and he's still great. I have to tell you, I'm a little disappointed that the Eagles had to start Carson Wentz this early in his career. My sense, and I could be completely wrong, is that it would have been very helpful for Wentz to be able to sit behind a good quarterback for a year or two. In other words, I think that pushing some of these guys in that quickly, it's a real problem. Remember, they're having to learn, you know, all of the playbooks. You know, he came out of a pretty small college. I think he's a talented guy. I've been much more supportive of Wentz than most the Eagle fans were. But I still think it would have been helpful, especially in Philadelphia, because, you know, your fans don't have any tolerance.
Well, remember, they are the Boo Birds.
Right.
And Carson Wentz, being the clean-cut North Dakota State type that he is, might just sincerely charm the city, particularly if he shows some early promise. Now, their next game is a Monday night against the Bears. Again, not the strongest opponent, but a good test. The Bears are improved defensively. They've got a couple guys that are banged up. The Eagles on their defense have their starting linebacker is listed as questionable, which means I don't think he's going to play. And they're going to be playing a rookie in that middle linebacker. Plus, the Eagles' offensive line has managed to come out of their first game in good shape, no injuries. The Zach Ertz, a talented end, is hurting and will not be playing from what I heard this
morning.
Now,
where is that game being played?
At Soldier Field. At Soldier Field,
oh,
Monday night,
okay.
8:30. I'm looking to at least watch the first half because I have to. I have an evidentiary hearing in Newark on Tuesday, so I may actually get to watch a little bit of the game, but it won't be more than a quarter.
Well, you know, I'm going to be at the Packer Bear game on October 20th, which is a Thursday night game. Which should still be, at least the weather will be nice. It's not like sitting out in Lambeau in
December
or January or even November. But I'm hoping that the Bears are not improved, put it that way.
Well, I'd like to see the Eagles knock off the Bears for my own reasons, but also, Pat, because I'm gracious and I want to see your Packers do well, except my team. The Bears are in the same conference as Green Bay, and certainly you've got to be happy every time the Bears lose.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
You know, unless, of course,
even more so when Minnesota loses.
Yeah, and you know, when I've noticed that when the Bears play the Vikings, you wish both teams every possible success.
Oh, no. I'm rooting for the Bears every single time.
Oh, really? You hate the Vikings that much?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Is it the purple uniforms? That's what
I don't like. No, it's just Minnesota.
Oh, you just don't like Minnesota.
We don't like Minnesota.
So you don't even like the Minnesota Wild ice hockey team?
Nope. I don't like. Well, I guess the only thing I have to say is my grandson is playing hockey in Minnesota now. You probably know that the team better than I do. These are the, you know, the young, what do they call them, the juniors?
Juniors, yeah. They're like 14 and up.
No, I don't think they're that young. No, these are the kids out of high school.
How old is he?
He's 18.
Oh, he's 18, and he's playing in the juniors, or he could even be playing in a semi-professional league.
Well, it's the semi-professionals, but the kids, I think they can play up until age 21.
Those are juniors, that's correct.
And so he's playing with Rochester, Minnesota. I don't remember the name of the team.
Well, if he's playing with Rochester, Minnesota, and he's traveling around, chances are that he's playing either in the U.S. Hockey League or he could be playing in the Ontario Hockey League.
I think it's the U.S. team, if pardon? I recall. I think it's the U.S. Hockey League.
Well, they play a team called the Comets, who I think are out of Flint. Fort Wayne, Indiana, excuse me. And the Fort Wayne, Indiana Comets have been around since the 1940s. They've been in many, many, many different leagues. And their ownership has changed. But the Comets had, for those of you who like sports memorabilia, the Comets had a great T-shirt and a great jersey. It was a flaming fireball of a comet. That looked like it was coming right at you when the player skated towards you, and it was kind of a cool thing to own. The Fort Wayne Comets have produced a lot of good NHL players, and You know, but these are junior leagues. They are for guys 21 and under, and it's almost like Class C or Class AA baseball, I think.
Well, what happens is, you know, he was young. He just graduated from high school, and I guess a lot of the if they call them the juniors, go into this league and then hope to go on to college. You know, I'm sure that somebody who's really good would hope to go on and go right into the NHL. But I think most of these kids are playing for the year and then hoping to get scholarships into some of the colleges that have good hockey teams.
A lot of colleges will recruit guys for their teams who have been playing in a junior league and have decided that they want to hedge their bets and get an education while playing hockey. And it's always a good thing because, you know, you're not going to play hockey forever, as I found out to my sadness.
But yeah, no, well, our grandson would have, you know, the expectation was he was going to go right from high school into college, but he had this opportunity, which I think is great because, you know, you could go to college for, you know, 4 years and never have that opportunity to see, you know, how good you can get at hockey. And if nothing else, he'll probably get into – he's very smart, so he could get into a good college. Mm-hmm. But this way, he should be able to get into perhaps a college with a better hockey team.
Well, the gold standard, as far as I'm concerned, is a North Dakota State, where, as you know, their former coach is now the coach of the Flyers, Pete Haxtell. Dave Haxtell, pardon me, and or, you know, BC or one of the Boston area schools, or even University of Maine, which has an excellent hockey program at their campus at Orono.
Well, I'm kind of hoping for Princeton myself.
Well, that's pretty fancy, but
but North Dakota State, oh my goodness, who would want to? I mean, you haven't lived in the Midwest in the cold of the Midwest, so
you know
they may have a good hockey team, but. Wow, not so sure I'd want to, you know, spend my college years in
But you know, the advantage of going to Minnesota State is a great facility, a good coach.
You mean North Dakota State?
North Dakota, rather. Great facility, good coach, and you can generally find that in some of these hockey schools, even Lake Superior State. The coaching, the training staff, the facilities are just a cut below the NHL.
Hmm.
And, you know, it's impressive when you walk through one of the locker rooms of a team, of a college team that's that extensive. I have not been there yet, but I hear the, Penn State had a huge arena and training facilities entirely devoted to hockey.
Yeah, no, I've heard the same thing.
Donated by Tom Golisano, who owns the Buffalo Sabres.
Yeah, no, so, I've heard the same thing. And, of course, you know, when you're looking at a college degree, I guess maybe I'm slightly prejudiced that, you know, someone would look at Princeton or Penn State or BC a bit more favorably than they'd look at North Dakota State. But
you know something? North Dakota State is not a bad place to be a student. I mean, the only problem you have at North Dakota State is that it's, you know, it's winter until August.
You're right. And I'm not so sure, you know, I went to the University of Wisconsin, and one of the things that I thought was great at the University of Wisconsin was the diversity. I mean, there was a huge diversity of students. And I think you can't, you know, find that in a lot of places. And I meant diversity worldwide. I mean, there were so many students that came to Wisconsin from all over the world that it was a real, that in itself was a real education. Well, but talking about education, let's
educate some of our listeners about our sponsors.
Yes, we'll do that, and we'll be back in a minute.
This is Tony Clark, Para Planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Pat and Heidi and Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Pat and Heidi and Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters of Weikert Realtors. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime, and selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 in Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technologies to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunterdon Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunterdon Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingtonChamberRadio.com app today.
The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is proud to present HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. All business, all talk, all community. Bringing you local news, information, events, and informative programming. Proudly serving the businesses and residents of Hunterdon County, New Jersey.
Okay, we're back. It's the sports guys. It's still Bill Wolfson and Pat Smits. But we're still hoping that John might come in. We thought he'd be here earlier to crow about his Red Sox.
But, Pat, he can crow about the Red Sox beating the Yankees last night with a walk-off home run and overcoming a 5-1 Yankee lead all he wants. But what I want to know is how on God's green earth does Wisconsin beat LSU in Wisconsin on opening day? What happened? LSU ranked 5, now they're ranked 21?
Isn't that amazing? I mean, that was an incredible game. It was really incredible.
I don't understand
how
that happened.
They didn't play that game in Wisconsin.
It was Wisconsin's a home opener. I don't know how Wisconsin beats LSU, an SEC conference team ranked number 5 in the nation. LSU's colors are yellow and purple.
Right.
Maybe they mistook them for the Vikings and wanted to really beat them up. Because
I don't know, but it was really, I don't know. Did you watch the game? That was a great game.
I did not see the game. Did you see the game?
Oh, yeah, of course. I mean,
what was the score?
I don't remember. I don't remember.
Well, it makes but sense that you guys would be talking, you know, college football. I wouldn't expect Bill to be talking baseball.
Oh, we've already done that,
oh,
John.
Oh, we did that. We talked about the, you know, those. What was that little team?
Manny Ramirez press conference.
What was that little team in Boston? What are those guys? Those Red Devils? Were they the Red Devils Sox? In Boston?
Yeah. Well,
the Red Devils in Boston, and
they certainly were.
Wait a minute. Now, do you think we should turn his mic on, or should we keep it off, Bill?
I don't know. Let's toss a coin, Pat.
I let my team speak
for quarter to six.
My team's bat speak
maybe
for,
we should turn his mic off.
Well, it was off. I just decided maybe I would turn it on.
Still a way to go. I'm not gloating too much. There's still a ways to go, and.
There's 16 games left?
There's either 15 or 16, yeah. I think the elimination for the Yankees is 14.
Right. John, just remember one thing. There's still time for the Red Sox to tank.
Well, the Phillies did it with, what, 14 games to go and an 8.5 game lead?
That's right. Yeah. Hey, but remember, you know, Philadelphia is a whole other sports universe.
Yeah, right.
I mean, hey, we boo Santa.
There you go.
You know, and it's not because the people there don't like Santa.
Well, no, it's because you got rotten fans.
I'm sorry that maybe you did the analysis already, but I hear Girardi is taking incredible criticism for bringing in Betances. He's his best reliever. He's an all-star. Now, the criticism is not that he brought him in, but that he brought him in the middle of the inning. He should have started the inning with Betances. I think he was trying to save him for the other games if he could squeak. He had a 5-2 lead. So you figure you go with the other guys, try to win that game, and now you can come back with Betances in two of the next three games.
But you know something? Betances.
So yeah, the absolute worst possible thing happened, which is you bring him in, and he gets clobbered, and you lose, and now where do you stand? Because he's pitched 3 or 4 days in a row.
Well, that's
oh, is that
true.
How
that,
many
that's
days
a problem
in a row?
Yeah, that was why he didn't bring him in initially.
He's burning Betances out. That's his problem.
That's right. Yeah. He has a lot of criticism for that. Betances could not
find the strike zone. He didn't have control over his pitches. But remember, the Red Sox batter, Ramirez hit a 99-mile-an-hour fastball.
They said there were only 5 balls hit for home runs this year that were that fast.
I didn't hear
5
that
balls.
Wow.
Out of over thousands of home runs that have been hit, only 5 have been hit by 99-mile-an-hour fastball.
So, you know, the criticism of Girardi, I think, is ill-placed. Without Girardi, they would have never gotten that far to begin with, where they're playing meaningful games on September 15th.
Exactly right.
Remember, this is a team that essentially they blew up on August 1 and expected that they would fade and finish in fourth place and not make the playoffs. And the only reason they would finish in fourth place is because Tampa
was so far
that season because of injuries. Now you've got the Yankees playing meaningful games on September 16th. They're going to play another meaningful one tonight in Fenway. They lost 2 out of 3 to the Dodgers, so maybe the bloom is coming off the rose a little bit.
A little bit,
but. You know, as far as I'm concerned, they're playing with the bank's money. They never expected the younger guys on this team would be as productive as they could, as they are being. Secondly, although Aaron Judge got hurt, yesterday they went out and traded for somebody. I forget the guy's name, Butcher, I think it is. And he hit a 2-run home run last night.
Yeah. So, you know, I still think Girardi makes way more good decisions than bad, one of the better managers around. And, that was one game, a devastating loss, as John Sterling said, that tarnished one. I hope that's not lost on you. But in any event, he said most devastating loss of the year. But, you know, if they somehow find a way to win even two of the next three to split the series, then they still have Baltimore again, I believe.
And they've been playing pretty well against Baltimore.
Yeah, but they have Baltimore's number. So, you know, I wouldn't necessarily – their biggest problem is that they've not only got Baltimore to contend with. I don't think they're going to catch Toronto, but they got Kansas City – not Kansas, Seattle.
And Detroit.
So there's just too many teams, and that's really what their problem is going
to
be.
Well, remember, the Yankees have a lot of other teams to leap over, first of all. Second of all, you get into that wild card game, great. But remember, they're playing with the bank's money, number one.
Yeah.
First and foremost. Number two, you could not ask for a better live fire exercise than you're giving these young guys who have all now come up for this year. I say look out 2017. These Yankees will be back and back with a vengeance.
Hey, how about those Mets? I should say them Mets.
The Mets.
Los Mets, I thought.
The Mets. But remember, you know, the Mets have suddenly gotten hot again.
They're a streaky team.
They're a very streaky team. The Mets just parted ways with their minor league manager out in Vegas, Wally Backman, for reasons that I don't fully understand.
Yeah, especially since you can't assume that Terry Collins is, like, entrenched in that managerial job. So it had to be a reason for that, Bill.
I don't know the reason for that. But as you know, I'm not a Mets fan. I can tell you that.
Far too intelligent for that, Bill. We know that.
I appreciate that.
I have a question for John because we don't have a lot of time. I expected to hear the ambulance going by on Sunday right before the end of the Dallas and Giant game. And hauling
when
John,
Terrence Williams went left instead out of bounds?
No, before that. I was expecting as they were coming down and looking like they were actually going to be able to win that game, I was expecting to hear that they're taking John Manfreda to the emergency room. The emergency room with cardiac arrest. I mean, you must have... I mean, what a stupid play. But, I mean, you must have been sitting there
very
just
difficult
cheering.
And had he turned it out to the sidelines, it would have been about a 60-yarder. But they claimed that this guy was kicking him in practice at 60.
So it wasn't a 30-yarder, was it?
Oh, The reason he turned it up.
I thought it was going to be a 35-yarder.
He was around midfield. So when you snap the ball 7-8 yards back, you're almost 60 yards. And his thinking, the problem was you're in the middle of a play, you don't have time to look up at the clock.
He had a couple more seconds
and then he could turn it up and they could spike the ball with 1 second. I mean, had there been 2 more seconds in that game, they would have had a shot. Would have been about
but he
a
still needed to get yard. Out.
Would have been about a 55-yard.
He still field. Needed to get
well,
out.
Well, no, because you could spike it and get the field goal team on the
well,
field.
Well, that's true.
No. So I mean, you know, it's just he missed it by only about two seconds.
But why wouldn't he have known that? I mean,
well, because, again, this play, I think when the ball was snapped, there was, I think, 8 or 10 seconds.
No, I don't think it was that much.
Maybe not.
I'm wrong, but then, I don't think so.
If it was less than that, then you would be right. I thought it was closer to 8 to 10 seconds, which means
I mean,
that
we're all sitting there screaming, get out, get out, get out.
I can imagine what the people in Dallas paying a couple $1,000 for the seats right near them was saying.
And, you know, and I have to say, I like your view. I thought that their young quarterback really did a good job. It was not
his
fault.
The coaching did a good job, Pat. They crafted that game plan to suit this kid. They didn't put him in a bad position, even though they couldn't run the ball against the Giants. They still rolled him out, used his athleticism, tried to keep him out of stressful situations where he's putting the ball up. And the kid did a very good job.
That was basically his first game.
And, you know, I mean, who knows? You give this kid a little experience and, you know, they might have a – in this NFC least, who knows?
Well, I was really impressed. I mean, because
yeah.
it's
the
his
kid
first
played
game.
Well.
And I didn't think – in other words, I didn't think the loss was his. I was actually kind of rooting for Dallas, although I hate to do that, only because it would have been nice for him to win his first game. On the other hand, your coach won his first game, so I guess somebody won a first.
But let me ask the question, what do you think of the receivers Manning is now throwing to? What's your take?
Well, Bill, he's probably got the best receivers he's ever had, and they've had a pretty good crop of receivers. The number two kid, Shepard, has blazing speed and great hands.
Yeah.
He made a touchdown catch, a difficult catch in the end zone his first game. Odell ran downfield and outran the secondary and would have scored, but he got pushed out at the five-yard line. And it was nice that way because then on the next play or a couple plays later, Victor Cruz got the touchdown. So it actually worked out really well.
He got to do his dance, yeah.
Yeah. So if Cruz, I think to answer your question, if what we saw of Victor Cruz is an indication of how he might be playing and maybe even get a little stronger as the season goes on, watch out, because those three receivers, I'm not sure how you cover them.
They certainly have a lot of speed, and I noticed that Dallas's secondary, which is not particularly good, I would call them average.
There were a couple of
times where they looked absolutely flummoxed
in
the second half.
Correct, yeah. That's not their strength, correct,
no.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, you know, compare their secondary with the Bills' secondary in the Jets game. I thought the Bills' secondary, particularly the safeties, were probably two of the better safeties in the AFC, and they didn't look all that good against the Jets.
Well, I think Fitzpatrick had a tremendous game. I think
he sure
threw for
did.
About 375. And the Jets played a smart game plan. I mean, they gave up a bunch of points because Revis again got burned on deep balls. He's clearly lost a step and a half. I mean, that's got to be seriously looked at. But yeah, I mean, Buffalo could have won this game, and you got to hand it to the Jets, give them credit. They played well enough to win.
That's absolutely true. Meanwhile, I want to find out from you two sports guys, anybody up for a football road trip, Temple Owl, Cincinnati, November 29th, the 29th or the 26th?
Can you guarantee 45 degrees or warmer?
Nope. I make no guarantees. It will be in Philadelphia at Lincoln Financial Field.
I have to say, since I'm taking a three-week road trip to see the Packers in October, and you can imagine what some of the judges are saying to me, but in any event, I'm not so sure that I'm going to be up for too much more football other than Packer football for the rest of the season after that.
Okay. Well, we'll see how it plays out. We may have a nice fall. It may actually be a pleasant Saturday to take a look. Would that be the Saturday after Thanksgiving?
That's it indeed.
Yeah.
See, I always say to myself, that Saturday after Thanksgiving, unless you've gone out of town, it's sort of the kind of Saturday where the one thing you don't want to do is go shopping or be hanging around the house. So it's a good time to go down to Philly. It's supposed to be an afternoon game, although they haven't announced the time yet because of the flex scheduling. And they want to see how the Owls do and how Cincinnati does. And remember, all of us sports fans now are subject to the power of the golden glass eye of television.
Yes.
So we don't know what time that's going to be. And let me also talk about the last three weekends in February. Lehigh Valley Phantoms, Saturday night. Who's up for some hockey?
Well, that would
absolutely
be fun. That really would be fun. And wanted to just make one point about the Jaguars. They actually looked good. I mean, I don't know if you saw the Packers.
Oh, that's a vastly improved team, Pat. They've had some high draft picks the last couple of years. They've drafted pretty well.
Yep.
They're a couple of years away, but they could be competitive.
And that was
by
a good
year.
Game with the
Packers.
They're
not
going to
be an easy win this year, but they'll probably be very competitive next
year. But that was a fun game to watch. It's always fun when you have pretty evenly matched teams, and I thought they were. Although I have to say, I was really pleased to see Eddie Lacy, who did so much better than he did last year.
He's healthy.
Well, he's healthy. He's running.
And the offensive line's better.
And he probably shed a few pounds. And, not that
they had severe offensive line problems last year.
Absolutely.
Quality of a running back. I mean, look at DeMarco Murray. He wins the NFL rushing title. And then he moves to Philadelphia, and he run for 200 yards the whole year. He can't get out of his own way because that offensive line was so offensive.
Well, remember, I think the reason was too many cheesesteaks.
Well, that too.
That'll do it to you. I mean, I love them, but boy, they do slow you down after three or four.
So, Bill, be honest about it. Were you real excited to see Carson Wentz finally get on the field and play well for a first game?
I certainly was. I thought,
and
his
in fact,
first
we talked about
excited.
That. And what I was saying, John, is I was disappointed that they had to use him that quickly. I just was concerned that he was a quarterback that needed to, you know, sit on the bench for about a year and learn. But I was impressed.
Well,
with
but it
what
would
he
have been
did.
Different if they played him in an NFL game. I mean, yeah, the Browns were the opposition, so there's really no danger there. But we'll see what happens Monday night in Chicago.
Well, remember, the Bears are a banged-up team already, number one.
But the Bears like to blitz.
They do, and you'll notice that the Eagle offensive line is a lot better than it was.
Yeah, they put money into the line.
Well,
they
that's what I
job.
Understood.
Yeah.
Didn't they Pardon? Put a lot of money
they
in?
They put a lot of money into their offensive line, first of all. Second of all, Wentz has some good people to throw to. Now, granted, Zach Ertz is not going to be playing. I understand his injury is going to prevent him from doing so Monday night, but he didn't practice yesterday. The Eagles also have the problem of their